From the heart of the Forest City, focusing on the biggest stories in London, this is the Craig Needles Podcast. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It's the Craig Needles Podcast here at ClassicRock981.com, LondonNewsToday.ca. Find us wherever you get your podcasts. And we are joined here in the studio this week by Jesse Roger, the executive director of Inova, who's been kind enough to join us. Look, a lot has been going on as far as the news conversation in this community goes, Jesse, as far as what's going on with women and girls, safety, things along those lines. So I wanted to have you in. Just you and I wanted to break some of that down today. So thank you so much for doing it.
Happy to be here.
So the first thing I want to ask you is, you know, as we hear what's going on here and as we hear what this conversation has kind of led to, what is that doing at the grassroots main level here for the organizations that are trying to help with the safety of women and girls in the City of London, people who are experiencing homelessness or whatever it happens to be, addictions, all these things that that certainly would come up in your work?
So I think what's been happening over the last few weeks has been an unfortunate distraction from the work at hand, because we're not talking about what's happening for women, girls, gender diverse, and trans folk in the city. We're talking about tweets, we're talking about responses, we're talking about people sort of championing themselves to ask questions when really we're all banging the drum,
right?
And we all do it a little bit differently, and that's okay. And so unfortunately for me, I think some of what has been going on has been a bit of a distraction from the work at hand, and being able to actually do the work every day. So my hope is that we can get back to addressing the massive challenges our community has, because it's important, and I think we just need to recenter and refocus.
What's the work at hand right now? What are the big things that are going on at Inova?
Well, big stuff for us right now is we've gathered more of our data for the last year. We are continuing to turn women away who meet mandate because we don't have any beds, because there's nowhere for them to go. We are continuing to see folks coming and staying with us for longer and longer periods of time, and that is because we have a housing crisis. We are seeing more reports of increased severe violence against women and against folks in intimate partner relationships. So trying to do that work of supporting them and making sure that they're as safe as possible. It started in COVID to get really, really bad, and then it hasn't stopped. Mm-hmm. So it continues to be a challenge. And then there's also this piece of, while we're doing all this crisis intervention, there is a deep need to talk about prevention work. And how do we stop people from needing to come to the door by responding to what's going on in their lives when they're a bit younger?
Yeah. So what does that look like? And maybe it's all of these things, but is it, you know, keeping people out of toxic relationships? Is it keeping people away from addiction? Is it finding them solid housing, solid job? Is it all of the things that I just said?
It's all of the things. And I think for us at Inova, the one of the big anchors of this is talking about trauma. Right, talking about how trauma and violence impacts people's ability to do whatever it is that they want to do with their life. Right, we have having a lot of conversations around addictions right now, which is really important because there is a crisis in our community.
Yep.
What I haven't heard a lot of people talk about, which I think is really important, is the numbers and the stats and the data that we have from folks who do really smart addictions research is that the majority of women-identified folk and queer folk who are addicted because they've experienced trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a woman who's experienced rape, incest, sexual violence, and you want to get help with that, you want to come to Inova because we give free sexual assault counseling.
Mm-hmm.
You call us and you find out the wait is 6 months. You find out the wait is six months. So what are you going to do to take care of yourself or to cope with this trauma for 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Some people turn to addictions. Some people turn to substances, legal substances or illegal substances. And then the problems get compounded, right? That trauma gets compounded because by the time they're able to gain service somewhere, they have an addiction that they're now having to contend with, as well as the trauma that they've experienced. So I think for us to have a conversation about this, we also have to have a conversation about trauma and violence-informed care. And for me, that seems to sometimes be missing. And if we're talking about women, girls, gender diverse, and trans folk, that needs to be part of the conversation as well.
Yeah, I think it has to be. And I always say on this podcast, the ounce of prevention is worth the pound of cure.
Yep.
And I would much rather there be a lot of available counseling at ANOVA than have a whole lot of available addictions counselors, if we're picking between the two, because one's less expensive than the other and takes a lot less, takes a lot less personal. Look, it's not easy, obviously, to go through being sexually assaulted and the trauma that comes along with that. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather just do that as opposed to the addiction on top of it. And that's the thing that kind of upsets me about where we've been at in this conversation is we're talking about, hey, what about this person who's addicted and they're living on the street? Which, hey, we need to help those people. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I think that the best thing that we could do is not just help those people, but, and we talked about this in the podcast last week, there's all sorts of people being tossed into the river here. Mm-hmm. Let's stop tossing people into the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then we won't have to worry about the number of folks that we're pulling out of there, right? Or at the least as many folks. It's never going to be zero, but the best we can do to keep people from going in means that we're not pulling as many out.
Yeah, and it also means that we have to respond to things like violence against women, intimate partner violence, violence, child abuse. We have to respond to that differently. And we have to recognize that we also have to talk about things. And I know sometimes people will roll their eyes or get frustrated with me or ANOVA when we talk about things like capitalism and the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels very woke or whatever. But the thing of it is that we have systems of violence and oppression that we work within. And if we can't critique those, and if we can't sort of recognize that maybe there's a different way of maybe how we talk to boys when they're younger, or how we socialize girls when they're kiddos, or we suppress gender expression, those kinds of things, right? Kind of, if we can have a place where we talk about that, perhaps that is going to be the prevention that we need.
Yeah. Now, how does that fit into who owns the means of production, I guess, would be a fair question there.
What do you mean?
If we're talking about capitalism, right?
So
If we're talking about who owns, I think that, can we not do some of those things that you, or all those things you're talking about, within the bounds of what is currently capitalism? Not that I'm going to sit here and defend economic systems that I think are inherently unfair, but I'm just wondering what you think.
I'm not advocating that we need to go back to a bartering system. I don't think I'm that idealistic, but I do think that we need to have some different conversations. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that people would come to those conversations with an open mind, and we're doing things really differently in this city. We're seeing people come together who have not come together before, and that's really exciting. And I want to see that momentum continue. I don't want us to stymie that by getting into the weeds.
Yeah, and that's fair. To be clear, I think that capitalism with guardrails is kind of how we should do things, and the guardrails are gone, or the guardrails are just to protect the
it's
wealthy.
It's important to have a continuum of opinions.
Yeah,
so, but we got to talk about it, right?
Let's talk about it. And that's not what I want to talk about in this podcast.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say is all of these problems are compounding on one another, and they're making each other worse, and this is a problem. And that is straining resources at organizations like ANOVA and other organizations in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And well, when you and the leadership at some of these other organizations are taking time out to write letters and things along those lines, clearly it's taking time out of your day that you could be doing other things. So why was it important to go and write a letter saying, hey, City Council, we've got to kind of rein in Susan Stevenson here? Is the TLDR version of that letter, which you can find online and all over the place, and at londonnewstoday.ca.
I think I tend not to I don't love to weigh in on social media debate, because I don't think it's a place for great debate. I think it's
I would agree with that.
A bit of a dumpster fire.
I agree.
I think also, as individual organizations and leaders, you have to figure out where the line is. And that line is sometimes tricky to see when it gets crossed. I think for me, the line was crossed not about a critique of the state of what's going on in our city. I think I thought, what is the likelihood that there is a woman or a survivor of intimate partner violence or gender-based violence who is wondering where to go for services because of the violence they've experienced in their life? And is there any question in their mind that ANOVA might not be a place for them because of what they've heard online? And for me, that's enough to sort of say, we mm-hmm. need to have a little bit of a different dialogue. Mm-hmm. And so that was it for me. I think the secondary piece for me was, you know, I've always got in the back of my head, about a year ago, there was a couple of staff from London Cares who were physically assaulted by a homeowner.
I remember the story well.
And I take the safety of my staff really seriously. And I've seen the level of discourse in community, not just online, mm-hmm. but in other spaces. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to make sure that we're all contributing to a conversation that understands that the safety of everybody is really important. And if there is a conversation that is adding fuel to a fire of making something a little bit more challenging than it needs to be, then I'm going to ask that that we redirect some of our energy to focusing on the task at hand. And that's just, mm-hmm. that's the long and the short of it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And obviously people can react to that however they like. And again, you can see the letter at londonnewstoday.ca if you would like. A couple things kind of that parse from that I want to ask you about. One, and this kind of came up on the podcast last week, and mm-hmm. you and I were talking about this before we started recording. Mm-hmm. The idea that, hey, if there's someone that wants to not do sex work anymore, they've been trafficked or whatever mm-hmm. it happens to be, there isn't a shelter or a space that a woman in that situation or a person in that situation can go to right now.
Yeah.
If someone shows up at Inova and says, hey, I've been doing sex work. I really don't want to do this anymore, but there's this really awful guy that I'm worried he's going to hurt me yeah. or I've been trafficked yeah. or whatever it is. What's the response from Inova? How does that work?
Thank you for asking me that question. It's one of the frustrations that I've had over the last few weeks of the insinuation that because Inova is in the camp of sort of supporting decriminalization of sex work mm-hmm. in this country, that we are then helping facilitate it, which I think is absolutely irresponsible to say. But here's the thing. If a human being comes to our door, one, they're never saying I'm in sex work or I'm being trafficked. That's not the language people use.
No,
but
I understand.
If by the sort of the conversation we have, we come to understand that they are doing sex work, whether that's survival sex work or whether it's, sex work that they're, you know, they have a continuum of choices and that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. The first question is to ask them what they want to do.
Right.
So often, survivors of gender-based violence and intimate partner violence, the things that are stripped away from them the most are power and autonomy. And so it is incredibly important for us that we are a space where we can help them find that again. And so if they are coming to us and saying, I don't want to do this anymore, all right, let's talk about that. Let's make a plan. Let's talk about your options. Let's talk about how we can be supportive. If they say, I want to continue to do this because of XYZ reason, how can we make this as safe as possible for you? And let's talk about the risks and let's talk about the pathways that you have in front of you so they can make the best decision for themselves. And I think that is, you know, meeting women where they're at, meeting survivors where they're at is kind mm-hmm. of, is I feel like it's been a bit of a, we've been saying this over and over again, and it's so very important because rescuing folks from sex work is, that doesn't happen, it can't happen. And making sure that we're not equating human trafficking with sex work, also making mm-hmm. sure that we have that sort of delineation is also really important. This is a really, it's a really, can be complex at times, and other yes. times it's not complex at all. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
How can we make sure that you're as safe as possible?
Right.
And that's the conversation.
Because we hear a lot of the stories, and these are all stories that happen. I'm not disputing the validity of these stories, but someone who's saying, who said, and maybe this happened at Inova, I was only doing that because I was worried yes. I was going to be seriously hurt by some guy yes. if I stopped. Like that's part of it, and that's awful, and, yes. and we want that to stop. Everybody, I think, wants mm-hmm. that to stop. But at the same time, there are people who want to keep doing it because that's the choice they've made. And I think that needs to be acknowledged here, mm-hmm. that it's not, there are people that want to continue to do sex work because they want to mm-hmm. and not because someone's forcing them or not because of some other nefarious reason.
Yeah, there's a continuum of, mm-hmm. Of sex work, right? And on one end, you've got people who have every choice in the world and this is yep. the work that they choose to do. Okay. And then you have on the other side where it's, I don't really have a choice. It's either I'm sleeping it out in the middle of winter or yeah. I'm trading something for a warm place to sleep. And in both of those cases, it's important to make sure that you're having a conversation with somebody to know what their options are,
yeah,
and to be able to help them with what is whatever it is that they want. And I think that's the conversation that we want to have. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but we apply so much sort of morality to this. It gets in the weeds of really making judgments about people. And in all of the conversations in this country that we've had around sex work, the voices of sex workers themselves have not always been included or listened to. And I think that has been a failing of the process. So, and the thing is that sex workers are not a monolith, right?
No,
they're not all going to agree on a law. They're like any other group of people, but they deserve to have a voice. And I think it's important to listen. And that's...
You are going to hear former sex workers who are hardcore, hardline abolitionists.
Absolutely.
Because of their experiences.
Absolutely.
That is the thing that's out there that is going to exist.
Yeah.
You are going to hear current or former sex workers who say that the laws that we have right now that make purchasing sex work illegal, those got to go because they're dangerous.
Yes.
Here's the thing, and I've interviewed people on both sides of that spectrum, former sex workers, people who are experts, people who've done the work, whatever it is. I think that's one, and I know this is a very passionate topic for a lot of people. I think that's one where very smart and very reasonable people can disagree. And I really believe that to be true.
Absolutely.
And that's just the way of the world here. Yeah. And that's why I don't necessarily love the idea of saying, hey, City of London, you've got to pick which one of these you like more.
No, I think it's, I think it's important that the city doesn't have an official stance on this, because I think the point is that we want to serve and support as many people as possible. And if you limit yourself by only within the confines of this, can we help you only in the confines of this legal parameter or this law, and let's be honest, there are a lot of laws that are not helpful, that are exploitive. And this seems to be one that a lot of people are, well, if we're gonna follow the law, we gotta follow all of them. I think it's a slippery slope, and we need to also have room for critique, and we need to also have room for honest conversation about when there are pieces of legislation that can do harm.
Right.
And so I think...
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like having an opinion that, hey, this particular law is not great does not disqualify one's organization from receiving funding from the city.
No, and I think you need to listen to everybody,
yeah,
including folks who are really... who may disagree with me. Like it's important to listen.
Because, and here's the thing, if someone said that, you know, to use London Abuse Women's Center as an example, if someone said, okay, I very, very harshly disagree that it should be illegal to purchase sex work and therefore we should defund London Abuse Women's Center, I would think that person was wrong. I would think that person was incorrect too.
Agreed.
So therefore I don't see why there has to be the city has to only fund one of these. That's not where I want
if we're going
to
have folks with lived experience who have different opinions about that, we should have different doors for them to walk through.
Yeah.
So if...
Would you say it's different London Abuse Women's Center than ANOVA on this particular subject as far as what the experience someone might have when they arrive there?
No, I think the same question would, like, what do you want and how do you want to be helped and supported? ANOVA we have an official sort of statement on where we stand on sex work, and for some that may not feel super in alignment, and that's okay, because we can find, either if we can't give you the service that you need, we're going to make sure that we find somewhere for you to go, or we're going to make a plan to support you as best we can. And so I think, I don't speak on behalf of Locke and my colleagues over there, but I feel very confident that they would ask the same questions. And so, but isn't it great to have options?
Yeah, and I guess that, and we talked about this on the Friday, that there's some dispute as to whether there really are options these days, but I think that there are, from the perspective of once you walk in the door, someone who needs help at ANOVA or at Locke or at Safe Space or whatever it is, you have some options when you get there.
Absolutely.
That's the thing.
Absolutely.
So that's where I'm at on this. Again, and I think that it is more than fair to have honest conversations about, hey, are we getting the best, most efficient expenditure of our dollars with Safe Space, with ANOVA, with Locke? I think that is a very fair conversation. I think that taking it in the direction of, well, we can only fund one of these, that's the part that I have a hard time with.
Yeah, that feels tricky. I think all of us as nonprofits are very used to questions around our funding, around money. We have audited financial statements that are available. We have reports that we do. It's part of the fabric of doing this work. I don't think anybody has an issue with being asked a question. I think it's when people are questioning how we deliver service and if our services are going to be a space to welcome people. Mm-hmm. That's a bridge too far.
Yeah, and I think that's a reasonable thing to say. The other thing that I would wonder about is, where do you think the community is at on some of these issues? Because, you know, we talk about online, and online's a small, little, tiny percentage.
Echo chamber.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. and there are people on both sides of certain issues on there, but it really represents a fraction of what's going on in the city. So when you're talking to Londoners in the community about where they're at on the safety of women and girls in the community, where they're at on what's going on with Inova, where they're at on, you know, homelessness issues, what's the general reaction you get from there? Where do you think the community's at on this right now?
So Inova's had our stance when it comes to sex work for 12 years, so before the merge. And we've also been doing harm reduction work for ages and ages and ages. And there's always been a moment where, you know, somebody's like, "Ooh, are we afraid of when like a donor's going to find out?" And for us and for me, it's been the exact opposite. For sure, there's been, you know, folks who have not loved some of the, whether it's the programs we're running or the things that we're saying, and they let me know. But the folks who continually support the work that we do, whether it's with their dollars or with their support in other ways, donations, it resonates. What we're doing is resonating, and it is. There's an alignment there. And so I feel like Londoners, they get it. They understand it. And they're also willing to have space or create space for more than 140 characters to have a meaningful conversation. Because I think that's also the important part of all of this. It's hard to have these conversations over social media.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. So I then wonder, you know, as we progress through and we're trying to figure this out, and there's the hubs conversation. I know you were a part of that. I think what a lot of people want to see is fewer people who are homeless on the streets. And there are some people that are going to say, well, they don't want to see that for selfish reasons because they don't like the look of it. There are other people that are going to say it breaks their heart to see it. And really, I don't care why you don't want to see homeless people anymore. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to see people who are homeless on our streets anymore, we want the same thing. Let's work towards it together. What role do you think organizations like Inova play in that? Because I don't think anyone's ever expecting Inova to provide permanent housing. But at the same time, people say, well, you know, we're funding Inova and there's this on the street and that on the street. You know, you hear the same grumbles that I do. Mm-hmm. So what role do you think Inova plays in this problem?
I think what Inova offers, along with a few other organizations in the city, is a unique perspective when it comes to gender and gender-based violence and violence against women, and making sure that we understand that delivering services to women, girls, gender diverse, and trans folk sometimes needs a bit of a different lens and needs a slightly different approach than services for men, and doesn't mean it's better, just means it's a little bit different. So I think that's what we can also offer. I think part of the work that we do, and from our seat as a sexual assault center, is we're rooted in offering critique to systems and understanding that, you know, it's not just about where you're going to put a hub or how many beds you're going to have, but it's also about, you know, you and I have talked about Ontario Works and ODSB, right? Like
it's my number one issue.
It's also talking about misogyny. It's also talking about how we value the voices of women and queer folk. Like it's also like being able to offer that and being able to hopefully call people in rather than call people out, and have conversations where we can try something different and we can try something innovative, and we can also remember that some of the most marginalized, their voices aren't always listened to. And so if we can offer that, I think that's a really important piece for the work that we're going to do. So
what do you want people to take away from what's gone on the last couple of weeks here? And I'm not talking about just what's happened on the internet, but just, you know, the entirety of the situation where, you know, there's conversation about, okay, which a group that tries to help women and girls is on whose side, and who's, you know, like who's okay here and what's going on there. Like, what do you want people to take away from what's gone on the last little while here?
I think sides are very unhelpful in a conversation when we're talking about helping people. And I think it's really important that we take away that centering ourselves or centering people in positions of power and authority and leadership, and I'll include myself in that, is unhelpful. And so focusing on the task at hand, we can have a variety and a diversity of ideas about how we get to the desired outcome of having less people be unhoused, having more people be healthy, have more people have be successful in the ways that in which they define success. We can all have different ways of having an idea of how to get there, but we all have the same want at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. We all want our community to be healthier. We all want our community to be safer. And I think it's important to sort of take away that there's not just one road to get there. There's multiple roads, and we need to take all those roads because one road's not going to fit for everybody.
No.
And so to be okay with that and to be okay with the mess of it, right? Like, it's tension filled and it's difficult. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get it out of it overnight. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been some of the conversation, is people's like, it's getting worse, or it's like, look at my corner, or look at my neighborhood, and it's terrible, and what's happening, and why isn't anything happening, and why isn't anything better, and like, you know, you got all this money to do this, and now, and I'm like, I think we just need to get a grip on what's actually going on, is that this is a challenge and an issue that was created by terrible legislation, by terrible policies, mm-hmm. By things like racism,
sure.
and you know, misogyny and all those kinds of things. And so to combat that, it's going to take some time to get out, which I think is really frustrating for some people to hear because of the urgency,
yes.
of what's going on. And that is not lost on me, and that is not lost, I think, on the people that I work with at Inova, that we are constantly in this tension of, it's going to take some time for us to get to a space of having a world without violence. It's not going to happen in my lifetime.
No.
But we've got to do something today for the people who are calling and needing space. So
and
I hear it.
I will say this. You know, we had the $25 million donation, which is incredible, a great thing. That's awesome. We could have $250 million drop out of the sky tomorrow. We could discover that London City Hall was built on a gold mine. We wouldn't be able to solve homelessness the day after.
No.
Because there are not enough places for people to live, and it takes time to build places for people to live.
Yeah.
There is no way around that fact. That is just the case.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's hard to hear that. It's hard to say it. It's hard to live it, right? Because it's so many of us are, of resources are so strapped. I will say that if we did get a little bit more money tomorrow,
we put it to good use.
It would help.
But at some point, we need places for people to live that are permanent, safe housing.
But we need to have conversations also about things that are a little bit more complex, about trauma, about violence, about how that contributes to the challenge.
If we could hire a few more trauma counselors for various organizations in the city, that would be amazing.
I think that would be an incredible idea. I think we would see a change. But I think in all of this, listening to people, to everybody who has had lived and living experience and understanding that they're not a monolith, that there is a variety of opinions, and figuring out how best to serve and support, I think is the way to go.
Yeah. Well, I think so too. I hope that is what happens from here on in. We will see what the future brings. But I think, like you said, everyone wants the same thing. And I thought your analogy about the road was good. It can't just be one road. And I will add to it. If you're so dogmatically focused on one road to get out of this problem, you're going into the ditch.
Yeah.
We got it. There's going to be a few different paths here. That's the way this is going to go. Jesse, thank you for this.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jesse Roger, the executive director of Inova, here on the Craig Needles podcast, which is powered by our friends over at the Covent Garden Market and at downtown London. You can find the Craig Needles podcast at classicrock981.com, londonnewstoday.ca, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.